Hello. As Dr. Runyon introduced, I'm Amy Schlotthauer, and I have no relationships to disclose. I would like to acknowledge the longstanding community academic partnership that the Injury Research Center at the Medical College of Wisconsin has with the Kenosha County Division of Health and my co-authors who represent both of those organizations. Jenny Hernandez-Meyer and Dr. Amy Zosel from the IRC, and Crystal Raffenstein and Debbie Ruber from the Kenosha County Division of Health. I would also like to acknowledge our funder for this work, the Healthier Wisconsin Partnership Program, which is a component of the Advancing a Healthier Wisconsin Endowment at the Medical College of Wisconsin. Today, my topic is going to be slightly different from the previous two presenters in that I'm going to be focusing on the how and why we set up this team and database and give you some of the initial results that we've seen from this multidisciplinary group. So how the team contributes to improved understanding, the critical elements of setting up the self-harm and death analysis, or SDART team, the elements of the data system we created to track injury patterns related to self-harm and poisoning, and the ways that the community is beginning to use the data. So Wisconsin is a state with 72 different counties, and each of those counties is locally governed by a county department of health, and each of those counties also has a medical examiner or coroner. Kenosha County is the blue county that you see represented in the map that is on the border of Wisconsin and Illinois. And through our work with the county, suicide and poisoning were identified as local health problems using death certificate surveillance. For those of you who've used death certificates as a surveillance mechanism, you know that they are limited in the depth of information provided. So the county had a lot of outstanding questions that the death certificate surveillance was not able to answer, as well as the fact that getting a complete research file from the State Department of Health leads to years of lapse in the most recent data provided. So to give you some of the idea of the data that the county was looking at, this is death certificate data for both Kenosha County and the state of Wisconsin, and I put this together for this presentation, and it is nearing the end of 2015, and 2012 was the most recent year. So that kind of illustrates the timeliness issue that we were running into. So as you can see, the suicide rates, and this is for all ages, per 100,000 persons for Kenosha County, are about the same as those of the state, which are higher than the national average. If we look at poisoning rates, and this includes both suicidal and unintentional or undetermined intent, so all deaths of all poisonings, we see a very concerning trend of Kenosha having a much higher rate of poisoning deaths than the state of Wisconsin, which again mirrors some of the trends we see nationally with poisoning as the cause of death. Death review systems are not new to the local jurisdiction. So the county has a multidisciplinary child death review team that has been functioning in the county for several years. So the idea for the SDART team was really to draw on the multidisciplinary nature that they were using for the CDR team. And so they pursued funding to start a multidisciplinary suicide and poisoning death review team, which is the SDART team. So first I'm going to talk about how the SDART team was created. As I said, the SDART was modeled on the National Child Death Review Team strategy, which brought together a multidisciplinary team of individuals together to track the risk and protective factors related to self-harm and drug poisonings. This group of people set the priorities of the team and rules for confidentiality. In the initial planning stages, many planning meetings were held to discuss concerns and ground the team in the review of the data for the topics presented. And at the end, 29 representatives from various community agencies that you see on the screen came together to form the team. After the team was formed, they reviewed the data to determine scope, again, limiting their scope to suicides and poisonings. They discussed the overlap with the current child death review team. So given that they already had a long-standing multidisciplinary team in their county that was reviewing these types of deaths for individuals up to 22 years of age, this team decided that that team was doing a great job. We're going to pick up on the age span where they leave off. So those people that die from suicide or poisoning causes that are at least 22 years old. The team also had to decide on logistics, such as meeting space and meeting time. The public health department houses the team and the database. They decided on rules of confidentiality and held several practice reviews to get into the groove of having the team. And they also had a protocol for obtaining data. So unlike the child death review team, that was housed also in the health department, this Upstart team would obtain the data prior to the review so that the data was part of the review and facilitated that. Thank you so much. So while the team itself was going to be important in reviewing and bringing multidisciplinary people together to review these deaths, they also knew they wanted to have a database. So existing databases that are in use in the state, including the National Center for the Review and Prevention of Child Death Case Reporting System and the Wisconsin Violent Death Reporting System were consulted, as well as the two documents that you see on the screen. So CDC's self-directed violence surveillance uniform data elements and Safe States consensus recommendation for the national and state poisoning surveillance were drawn upon to form the final database of 74 elements. 88% of these are collected for both suicide and poisoning deaths, and the remaining 12% are collected only for poisoning deaths as they are very specific to the nature of chemical injury. After the first few meetings, database variables were modified to better reflect issues and data points that the team thought would be valuable. And one example of this is further specificity around incarceration status. So the five categories of the data elements are shown on the screen. Demographics and death information, including cause, manner, and location, which again is a lot of what is found on the death certificate. But the risk factors, toxicology, and drug information are the real richness in data that the database provides. As I mentioned, the elements are gathered by the public health nurse and the SR team leader from all the organizations participating and then entered into the database that's maintained at the health department. Where the academic team comes is in the analysis of aggregated data into a yearly report that is provided to the team who review it to form the prevention recommendations. So data are analyzed and reviewed by the team on an annual basis, but also with each monthly meeting that occurs that is more specific to the types of cases that the team is reviewing that month. Based on a year of data review, the community called for improved systematic death scene investigations. So what they were finding is the information that they were able to gather on all of the different deaths varied depending on the situation or who was collecting it. So sometimes they would get great data and other times not. So the team called for a standardization so that the same information is being collected at all the scene investigations, no matter what the situation is or who is collecting that information, which greatly increases their quality. They also have reported increased use of data to improve programming. And two examples of this are the use of SBART data by the health department to call for and initiate an SBART screening process within the health department, which is something that they really struggled to get going. And once they had the SBART data that showed the real need for this type of screening at the health department, they were able to get it going. Another example is detention centers feeding some of the data back. I mentioned incarceration status, back to detention centers and really improving the transition of people out of the detention center into a non-incarcerated state and looping them into the suicide prevention movement. The EdStart database has also served as a model for other counties in Wisconsin through a statewide grant. One of the other great things about this EdStart process and database is the increased community connections that have resulted. So really, they have a lot more organizations invested in the suicide prevention movement that were not part of the movement prior to that. And as we talk about health in all policies and this conference, I think this is one way that we can get that going, in that they're bringing in people that traditionally were not part of the suicide prevention discussion prior to this process. And finally, existing community resources are able to be more tailored with this greater specificity in the data that is collected. So in conclusion, the EdStart process has facilitated an objective measure of injury and violence, allowing for tracking trends in this community. It has increased the timeliness to local data and the depth of information that assists in prevention, as well as informing a number of community improvements to impact prevention, including strengthened organizational relationships and better resources. Thank you. It does.
And so what does this team provide that the NPDRS
provides? That is a great question. One of the things that this team provides is that multidisciplinary review. So the VDRS is strictly linking data from three sources. And the sources for this database are wider than those three sources for the VDRS. I think VDRS is a great tool, and we've made a lot of use of it in our state. One challenge is that when looking at VDRS, it is really a state system that feeds into a national system. And given that we are such a county-based state, a lot of the county agencies that are doing a lot of the prevention work don't really get to see that data until it becomes released 2 to 3 years later. So this was a way to get some of those information points that the VDRS provides, add to it, and get it in a quicker turnaround to inform the prevention at the local level. Yes?
Were there any challenges with particular types of partners?
Yeah. Yes, there were. What we thought when we were forming this team, that we really didn't give a lot of effort to pre-planning, is that, oh, we have this great county child death review team. A lot of these people are providing input into that team. This is going to be no big deal. But for some reason, when we were talking about adults, a lot of the organizations that participate in the child death review team have increased concerns about confidentiality for whatever reason. And that was a huge sticking point that required many more planning meetings than we had thought. We really thought we were going to bring everyone in the room, hey, this is a great idea, let's go. And it took many more months of planning and getting buy-in from all of the organizations. And law enforcement was one of those organizations that was really reluctant and hesitant at first, but eventually came on board.
Thank you.